turn to the book of 1 John. Been looking at chapter 3, verses 2 and verse 3. We do want to pray for Sister Smith. Brother Garner Smith went home to be with the Lord last evening. So do remember Sister Smith in prayer. Remember Faith Baptist Church there in Clarksville. Sure they're going to have a rough day, so just remember them in prayer at this time also. We're happy for Brother Smith, but he's going to be missed. Going to be missed greatly. He preached church truth as strong as anyone I know, and there aren't many preaching that today. So just pray for Sister Smith and the family, and also for the church. Read verse 2 and verse 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I want to look today at verse 3. Every man that hath this hope. And this hope refers back to three things mentioned in verse 2. It refers back to when he shall appear. So it refers back to the return of Jesus Christ. This is our hope. The return of Jesus Christ. It also refers back to something that will take place. The two things that will take place at the return of Christ. We shall be like him. This is our hope. Our hope is when he shall appear. Our hope is we shall be like him. That speaks of the change that's going to take place in us at the return of Jesus Christ. And he mentions a third thing referring to this hope, and that is we shall see him as he is. There will be a clear revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when the word hope is used in the New Testament, it's not like we use the word today. It's not a hope so, I hope such and such happens. Though it may not, I hope that it does. That's not what hope means at all in the New Testament. In fact, it means just the opposite. It means a confident expectation. It means an assurance. So our hope, our constant, confident expectation and assurance is Jesus Christ will appear. We're confident of that. That's our hope. That when he does, we shall be like him. And we shall see him as he is. Now this confident expectation, this assurance that Jesus Christ is going to come. As we've already said, if you're expecting someone at your house at 2 o'clock, you probably begin watch, depending who it is. If they're habitually late, you may not begin to watch till 2:30. But if you begin to watch, say 1:30, quarter to, you begin to look. Because you're expecting them to come. The same is true of the return of Jesus Christ. If we are expecting him to come, we'll watch. Not only will we watch, but we'll be ready. We'll be ready. We'll be ready because we know he's coming. Notice in the book of Luke chapter 12, and this explains why so many of God's people, and I believe there are many, do not ever watch for the coming of the Lord. Because to them it's a hope so. I hope he comes someday. But it is not a confident expectation and assurance that Jesus Christ is going to come. If that is our confident expectation and assurance, we will watch. And we will not only watch, but we will keep ourselves ready for the return of Christ. Luke 12, verse 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Now, if you're waiting for something, it's because you're expecting it to take place. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. In other words, that they may be ready. They're watching and they're ready. Blessed are those servants. Here's the application. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so. That is, find them watching. Find them ready. Blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. He would have watched. He would have made himself ready and have not suffered or permitted his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. So again, this hope, this confident expectation, this confident assurance causes us to watch, causes us to be ready. And the life of a child of God is a life expecting Jesus Christ to return, a life watching for the return of Christ, a life ready for the return of Christ. Jesus Christ could come today. Therefore, I must be ready. If he doesn't come today, he could come tomorrow. That's true every single day of our lives. And one thing for sure, each day that he doesn't come brings us closer to the day that he does come, which simply means we ought to be more and more ready all the time. More and more ready. Now, this hope, again, refers back to the three things that we mentioned in verse 2. But this hope, throughout the New Testament, is described by certain adjectives. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. It is referred to as good hope. That is, it's righteous. It's good. That means it's trustworthy. Now, why is this hope trustworthy? Because God is the author of it. Therefore, it's trustworthy. But not only that, it's built upon a solid foundation. Whatever hope you have, whether we're talking about hope so or assurance, you have to, that has to be built upon something. There has to be something that causes you to hope. And what causes us to hope here, it's a good hope through grace. Grace is the foundation. Grace is the foundation of this hope. And therefore, it is a good hope. But then notice in Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Well, let's read verse 12 also. Teaching us, that is, the grace of God teaches us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. It's a good hope. It is a blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a blessed hope. Same word that Jesus used in the Beatitudes, blessed be. Blessed is the man. And with that, it speaks of a happiness, it speaks of a joy, it speaks of a contentment. This is a blessed hope. But it's not just an outward happiness, it's not just an outward joy. This is blessed. In other words, this hope is a hope that gives us an inner joy of heart. No matter what's going on in the world, if you are absolutely confident and absolutely certain that Jesus Christ is coming again, and that when He does come, you're going to be changed like Him, and you're going to see Him as He is, that gives you an inner joy of heart. That gives you an inward happiness. That gives you an inward pleasure, an inward satisfaction, an inward delight. So this is a blessed hope. It is a hope that brings joy. It is a hope that brings satisfaction. No matter what else is going on, this hope brings happiness. Notice in Psalm 146, Psalm 146 and verse 5. Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is he who not only has God for his help, but whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is the man that places his assurance, places his confidence in the Lord. This is a hope. The hope of Christ's return is a hope that should produce gladness in our hearts even now, but it is a hope that will definitely result in gladness. Notice in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. Proverbs 10, verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. But the expectation, and that's another word for hope here, the expectation of the wicked shall perish, because he has no foundation, does not have a solid foundation. But the hope of the righteous shall bring gladness. So it is a good hope. It is a blessed hope. Notice in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. In verse 18, we see that there are two mutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for God, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The hope set before us. Which hope? That is, the hope set before us. We have and has an anchor of the soul. Hope is an anchor. He goes on to say this hope is both sure and steadfast. It is sure. That means it is certain. You say, I'm sure of such and such. What you're saying is, I am certain. So this hope is certain. It is definite. It is something we have confidence about. But it's not only sure, it is steadfast. That which is steadfast is faithful. It's something that you can depend upon. It's reliable. It's constant. It's trustworthy. And this hope that is laid before us, it is certain, it is definite, it is confident, it is something you can depend upon, it is reliable, and it is trustworthy. And it is compared to an anchor for the soul. The most important part of us is our soul. And we must have an anchor for the soul. And part of that hope, the hope has many aspects, but part of that hope is that Jesus Christ is going to appear. And that expectation that Jesus Christ is going to appear serves as an anchor for the soul. So what does an anchor do? Well, an anchor grabs hold of. It grabs hold of something solid. And that's what our hope does. It grabs hold of what God has said. It grabs hold of the Word of God. That's what hope does. It grabs hold. Everybody, whether saved or unsaved, everybody grabs hold of something. Now, most of the unsaved world is grabbing hold of air, or at least attempting to, or that which is like air. But everybody has something that they depend upon. Everybody here today has something that you are depending upon to get you to heaven. Everybody. Everybody in this world is depending on getting to heaven somehow. And so this hope is that which we grab hold of. An anchor, once it grabs hold of, it keeps the ship from being wrecked. And our hope is like an anchor. It grabs hold of the Word of God. And it keeps our soul, and it keeps our life from being wrecked. We have to have this hope. It'll save your life. It'll spare your life because it'll keep you watching, and it will cause you to be ready. But not only that, an anchor, once it grabs hold, keeps the ship from losing the headway that it has made. And what is it that keeps us from losing the headway that we have made? It's that hope. It's that hope that we have. Jesus Christ is coming. And when He does, I shall be like Him. And when He does, I'll see Him as He is. That's hope. And that hope will keep you from wrecking your life. And that hope will keep you from losing the headway that you've already made. Now, in other words, this hope keeps us, just as an anchor keeps the ship. This hope is also illustrated by a helmet. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So it's compared to an anchor. It's compared to a helmet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Which is the hope of redemption, the hope of deliverance from this world. It has reference to the same thing that Paul is referring to. Notice in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Our salvation there is referring to redemption. It's referring to the redemption of the body, which is what John is talking about in 1 John 3 and verse 2, that we shall be like Him. It's referring to the redemption of the body. This is part of our hope. And this hope serves as a helmet.
In other words, this, what does a helmet do? It protects the head. That's where our mind is. That's where our thoughts are. And this hope keeps our minds straight. We would go absolutely nuts today if we didn't believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. Our minds would be a mess. So this hope serves as a helmet. We see also in 1 Peter 1, in verse 3, 1 Peter 1, another adjective to describe our hope. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope," or a living hope. This hope is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Again, hope has many aspects. And whatever aspect we're talking about, all of these adjectives work. This hope is lively, which is the opposite of that which is dead and that which is inactive. So it is a hope that works. It is a hope that is active within us. Remember, Jesus spoke of living water. He spoke of living water in John chapter 4, verse 10. He spoke of living water in John chapter 7 and verse 38. He was referring to running water as opposed to that which is stagnant. And when we talk about a lively hope, we're talking about living hope. We're talking about that which is opposed to that which is stagnant. This is not a hope that lies dormant. This is not a hope that is stagnant. This is a hope that is active. It's active. It's doing something within us. And if it's not working in you, perhaps you don't have this hope, because it is a lively hope. Lastly, if we go back to 1 John chapter 3, in verse 2, we see, "And every man that hath this hope," referring to the three things we mentioned in verse 2, "in him," this is an inward hope. This is an assurance that is within us. And it is an assurance, again, that does not lie dormant. It is an active force within us. So we as God's people are to live our lives expecting the return of Jesus Christ. And that is something that is always working in us. And as we'll see next week, it's something that makes a difference in our life. It has a life-altering effect upon us. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the time that you've given us to be in your house. And